O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia. The Lord has called us by the gospel. O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in His hand. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hand formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord has called us by the gospel.
You
may be seated. The hymn is inside the bulletin. My church, my church.
Holds the faith beside.
upon this rock, against every shock, through gates of hell assail. She stands secure, with promise sure, they never shall prevail. My church, my dear old church, I love her ancient name, and God forbid a soiled of hers should ever do her harm. Her mother's cares I'll ever share, her child I am alone, till he who gave me to her arms shall call me to his own. My church, I love my church. I've heard the tale of blood, of hearts that loved her to the death, the great, the wise, the good. Our martyred stars defied the powers, for Christ the crucified, the one delivered faith to keep. They burned, they bled, they died. My church, I love my church, for she exalts my Lord. She preaches, she teaches not, but from his written word. And if her voice bids me to rejoice, from all my sins release, 'tis through the atoning sacrifice, and Jesus is the priest. My church, my love, my church, for she taught me his heart. To Zion's palace beautiful, where Christ my Lord hath gone. From all below, she bids me go to him, the life, the way, the truth to guide my erring feet from darkness into day. Then hear my church, my dear old church, dishonor and disown. My church shall yet be dear to me. My Father's and my home. Amen. The psalmody is also in your white bulletin. It's Psalm 119. Beginning with parts. Understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances.
So shall I keep the law continually, forever and ever.
And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts.
I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed.
And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. The Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Psalm 84. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. And the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Blessed are those who dwell in your
Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Look upon the face of your anointed.
Worthy, your cause is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you.
The common responsory is on page 211. Follow the readings. The Old Testament reading for the presentation of the Augsburg Confession is from the 29th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Then these Levites arose, Mahath, the son of Amasai, and Joel, the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites, and of the sons of Merari, Kish, the son of Abdi, and Azariah, the son of Jehalalel, of the Gershonites, Joah, the son of Zimnon, Eden, the son of Joah, of the sons of Elizaban, Shimri, Jael, of the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Mataniah, of the sons of Haman, Jehiel, and Shammai, of the sons of Jaduthun, Shemaiah, and Uziel. And they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and went according to the commandment of the king at the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. Then the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it out and carried it to the brook Kidron. Now they began to sanctify it on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the vestibule of the Lord. Then they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month they finished. Then they went in to King Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offerings with all its articles, and the temple of the showbread with all its articles. Moreover, all the articles which King Ahaz in his reign had cast aside in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified, and there they are before the altar of the Lord." Here ends the reading. the epistles from the second chapter of Galatians. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Here ends the reading. In the Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be freed indeed." Here ends the reading.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the meditation on your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. On January 21st, 1530, Charles V, the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, declared a diet would convene at Augsburg. The text of that proclamation is quite impressive and promising. I read, "The diet is to consider furthermore what might and ought to be done and resolved upon regarding the division and separation in the holy faith and the Christian religion, that this may proceed the better and more salubriously," the emperor urged, "to allay divisions, to cease hostility, to surrender past errors to our Savior, and to display diligence in hearing, understanding, and considering with love and kindness the opinions and views of everybody, in order to reduce them to one single Christian truth and agreement, to put aside whatever has not been properly explained or done by either party, so that we all may adopt and hold one single and true religion, and may all live in one communion, church, and unity, even as we all live and do battle under one Christ." So the proclamation. Elector John of Saxony commissioned the Wittenberg theologians, Luther, Jonas, Bugenhagen, Melanchthon, to prepare a document that would detail the differences that exist both in faith and in other outward church customs and ceremonies. They finished this document. Melanchthon presented it to Elector John at Torgau on March 27th. In the first half of May, Elector John and his theologians, minus Luther, arrived in Augsburg to find that things were not as they had planned. Now, Luther, he is left behind in Coburg Castle in Saxony, safe from arrest and execution. But they arrived, and it's not quite the way the emperor had made it. Dr. John Eck, a Roman Catholic theologian, had published a book. It was entitled 404 Propositions, in which Luther was slanderously charged with every conceivable heresy. Some statements of Luther were taken out of context, some were twisted to give unintended meanings, and some were simply concocted. But Luther was said to deny even the Trinity he was said to deny. All right, so this new wrinkle caused the Lutherans to rewrite their presentation in order to respond to these false accusations. Thus, instead of simply presenting a list of corrected abuses and the related doctrines, faith and good works, they put together a more comprehensive document, including a defense of Christian doctrine. That document is called the Augsburg Confession. It was presented to the emperor on June 25th, 1530. The first articles go through and say, here is the Christian faith. The last articles deal with the errors, which they had put together earlier, our refutation of the errors of what was going on. Following the presentation of the Augsburg Confession, the Lutherans expected to hear a presentation from the Roman theologians concerning their view and opinion so that, the diet could progress as Charles' invitation had already made clear, and they could work towards a common confession. Now, although the Lutherans were not blind to the conniving influence of the Roman theologians, they were relying on the good heart of Charles V. But those Roman theologians steadfastly refused to be summoned as an equal party with the Lutherans, nor were they willing to submit their view. They simply proclaimed that they had not left the church, and the Pope's doctrine was identical with the old Christian faith. They simply stated that they held to the previously passed Edict of Worms. By the time you got to August 3rd of 1530, the Romans had put together a document called the Roman Confutation. And they did actually attempt to confute or to respond to the Lutherans. It was read in the exact same hall in which the Augsburg Confession was. Before the reading of the Roman Confutation, the emperor announced this: the Confutation contained his faith, his verdict on the Confession of the Lutherans. He demanded that they accept it. Should they refuse to do so, he would prove himself the warden and the protector of the church. Following the reading, the Lutherans were told that they had been refuted and that they should relinquish their articles of the Augsburg Confession and return to the Roman Church in the unity of the faith. The Lutherans could not. Their conscience held by the Word of God. On September 22nd, after much wrangling, the Lutherans offered to submit a response for the Roman Confutation. This defense, or Apologia, commonly called the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, was refused by the emperor. That was the 22nd. So the next day, September 23rd, Elector John left Augsburg, along with the contingent, fully expecting war to be inevitable, the breach between the Lutherans and the Romans. The Roman teaching and the Lutheran teaching has remained. The official name of our congregation includes the letters UAC for the unaltered Augsburg Confession of 1530. And some 500 years later or so, the Augsburg Confession is still the official teaching of our congregation and our diocese. Our pastors unconditionally subscribe to it, as well as the entire Book of Concord, because it presents the correct teaching of the Holy Scriptures. Our enemy today is different than it was before. Luther was prevented from going to Augsburg because he could have been arrested, executed. Those kings and leaders who attended the Diet of Augsburg often feared for their lives. They knew that their actions might have great or grave consequences. Today, we are not being forcibly held, nor are we being told that we could be killed. We have a different enemy. Our enemy today is our own ignorance. It is a lack of knowledge. Our own enemy, or at least what we must overcome, is the freedom that we have. In the Old Testament reading, the book of the law, it had been lost for years, and then was found. Ezra and the Levites read the words of the book of the law to the people. They explained it to them, and they said that many things had not been done. They began to mourn and weep over their transgressions. The Levites spoke the gospel to these troubled Israelites, and they were forgiven by the Lord. Their knowledge of the truth they now embraced. They were to rejoice greatly over the truth that they now knew. They understood the word of the Lord, and they clung to it. Today also, well, we do not weep and mourn as we ought concerning our transgressions. We do not rejoice in the truth of the word of God. Though there is the old standard of the Augsburg Confession, we and many Lutherans don't abide by that standard. We are Lutherans because of our parents and our grandparents. We don't know what it is, but we hope they understand. We are Lutheran because we go to a church which has the word Lutheran on the outside. The persecution that comes against us is not simply from the outside. Yes. There is much that we don't know, and we must study. Persecution, well, forcing people away, left people with a kind of hypocrisy in standing up for their beliefs. But with the absence of persecution, we have trouble understanding. Fear? Fear what? As far as we know, nothing's wrong. Instead, I must say, we have become lukewarm, like the Laodicean Christians. Apostle John speaks of them in Revelation 3. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with them and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We need to find that old book again. Yes. We need to weep that we have come so far from the confession of Christ, and that we need to return to that confession of our forefathers in the faith. We need to, as the gospel reading a little later today, rejoice that we have been lost and we have been found, and to tell others to rejoice with us as we proclaim to them this Augsburg confession, the confession of our faith, and as we have returned to the truth, so that we might rejoice. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. The Te Deum is on page 214. We stand. We praise you, O God, we acknowledge you to be the Lord. All the earth now worships you, the Father everlasting. To you all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To you, cherubim and seraphim, continually do cry, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are of the majesty of your glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise you. The goodly fellowship of the prophets praise you. The noble army of martyrs praise you. The holy church throughout all the world does acknowledge you. The Father of an infinite majesty, your adorable, true, and only Son, also the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. You are the King of glory, O Christ. You are the everlasting Son of the When you took upon yourself to deliver man, you humbled yourself to be born of a virgin. When you had overcome the sharpness of death, you opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You sit at the right hand of God, in the glory of the Father. We believe that you will come to be our judge. We therefore pray you to help your servants, whom you have redeemed with your precious blood, make them
to be numbered with your saints in glory everlasting. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who through the preaching of thy servants, the blessed reformers, has caused the light of the gospel to shine forth, grant, we beseech thee, that, knowing its saving power, we may faithfully guard and defend it against all enemies, and joyfully proclaim it to the salvation of souls and the glory of thy holy name. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. O God, the protector of all that trust in thee, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us thy mercy, that thou, being our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal, that we finally lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Shed your Holy Spirit upon your people, O Lord, and make ready our hearts this day to hear and keep your holy word, that in the communion of your congregation we may rightly sanctify your holy day, and through your word with all your saints come to eternal blessedness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.